Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode, we explore, expand, and evolve our understanding of the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity and exponential growth. And now welcome your hosts, Dr. Jeffrey Smith and Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. Dr. Jeff here with my close friend and companion, Jim Case, talking about acceptance tonight in our fun time that we're having here in Adventures in Truth Podcast. Jim, how are you doing today?
I am well, thank you. Doing well. Love the topic. It's going to be a fun dive today.
Absolutely. In total, I can honestly say, I mean, just totally, totally honest here, acceptance is what is lacking for us to be content and practice joy and have happiness. It may sound cliche, it may be trite, it may be whatever you want to think. And obviously, it's not an easy thing to do. It's an easy word to use. It might be an easy concept to contemplate or to talk about, but learning how to accept, learning how to live in a state, that's the right word right there, living in a state of acceptance will actually allow you to not create negative energy and be in a state where your body's ripping itself apart at a cellular level, at an energetic level, that we could stay neutral at best, positive one step up from neutral. And it has to do with accepting what shows up in our life. And the reason that I believe that it's so important is, doggone it, folks, I'm willing to be wrong on this, but I'm probably not. We've asked for what shows up. Mm-hmm. There's a philosophical belief that you have what you want right now, that what's showing up in your life right now is what you want. And everybody's like, no, that's not true. It can't possibly be true. I don't want this and I don't want that. And I don't, it's like, well, then why is it in your life?
Well, it's what you've accepted.
Yes. And there's lessons from all of these things. I mean, so there's so many different ways that, so many different dive in points on this topic of acceptance. And sometimes when you're introducing a topic, people like you to cut to the chase or just, you know, toss in the final summary at the end. So we're going to do a dive. But in the end, if you strive to find a lifestyle that you can accept what's showing up in your life step by step, moment by moment, day by day, challenge by challenge, ease by ease, because that's really what life is. Life, there really isn't any such thing as a problem. We use that word, and I wish that we would get rid of the word. A problem is simply a challenge that we have not yet found a solution for. And the solution is, the word solution just simply means, I can accept this. This is something I can live with today, right now, in this moment. Near-term, medium-term, long-term solutions. Mm-hmm. Can't always have that right now. But what we can have is I can accept what is happening to me right now in this moment. And if I can't accept it, I'm going to be pissed off, angry, upset, sad, crying, you name it. The list is pretty lengthy. So the goal is, I want to live in a state of acceptance. I don't know who coined the term radical acceptance. And I remember you and I and Timothy talked about this a couple years ago when we started our podcast, mm-hmm. of practicing this idea of radical acceptance. And what makes it radical is really funny. I mean, look at the smile on my face right now, but it's so humorous and hilarious to me that we have to use a word like radical to simply say, I accept what's showing up in my life right now. because I can't change it. There's forces at play, some of which I have set in motion, some of which I've asked for, created, set in motion maybe before I even incarnated here to have this experience, if that's how it works. Some of which other people, you know, I'm a character in a screenplay, and there's a lot of screenplays going on simultaneously, but what is showing up in our life is either something that we can use as a way to learn from it and grow and be guided by, or give an example to others. Have you ever thought of that? That some of the hard things that you're dealing with may not even be for you, but it's for somebody else to watch how you're dealing with it so they can learn how to deal with it. That happens over and over and over again. That's simply a mentor. You're watching somebody go through something and they do it good enough. They come out the other end and you're like, wow, I want to be able to do that. Now it's your turn. Now you get to do the challenging thing. So you want to catch up with me a little bit, Jim? I kind of bogarted the mic here for
You're all good. You're good. I have a few things. I wanted to get a definition. So the definition is a noun, the action of consenting to receive or undertake something offered.
That's good.
And what that led me to thinking about is I wonder if acceptance is actually the wrong word. And here's why. My thought is that when you were talking about radical acceptance, that radical acceptance is actually allowing. In the end, it's actually allowing, because it doesn't matter whether you accept what shows up in your life, it's showing up anyway.
Right.
So the acceptance is more about the choice to allow the energy to flow easily in your experience. The choice to say, I'm allowing whatever I'm creating to show up so that I can experience it and then make determinations from that. But the idea of acceptance is, I almost wonder if, and I'm just positing here, because as I read that definition and then made that connection, I thought, wow, this is really powerful, because maybe acceptance is dealing at the personality level, where allowing is dealing at the soul level, meaning
I like it.
You got to coerce the personality through acceptance. But if you're not in acceptance, being in acceptance does not mean you're out of resistance. It takes you closer to being out of resistance, but it's not a state of being non-resistant. Allowing is a state of non-resistance. It just simply, it's an open space. It's the space of love. It's the space of creation. It's, I'm all of this and I'm allowing all of this. And then I will focus and direct the energy in whatever fashion is necessary to forward movement, to forward motion, to take me to the next place, whatever that is. My acceptance of my circumstance does nothing except make it less challenging or less emotionally problematic, emotionally or mentally for that matter. And that once you get to acceptance, which is an amazing place and an absolutely necessary place, because it's the first stage of managing the mind, so to speak. It's the first stage of, okay, now I know that I'm not my thoughts. Now I know that my mind does what my mind does, and my job is to focus that energy in a way that serves myself, my world, my planet, whatever, however that works for you. So that's my first contribution.
Okay. I like the differentiation of the hemispheres of the mind, and your use of acceptance might be more literal and cognitive and academic and a starting point. And the allowing could be more of the energetic, you use soul part. I like the combination of both. An acceptance would maybe be a starting point thought-wise, and an allowing would be the heart aspect of it, or the energy, attitude, emotion piece of it combined. But when you put both of them together, then to me you'd be like in a state of flow, and another way of saying that is non-resistance.
Yep.
That what we're working toward is a state of non-resistance.
Yes. And I think that's the ultimate goal. It also, you know, it speaks to, when you think about how law of attraction is structured, one of the things that they talk about consistently is when you're in a space that you don't want to be in anymore, maybe you're angry, maybe you're sad, maybe you're pissed off, whatever you are, you can't jump from being angry to being joyful. You have to migrate your thought process. You have to change your vibration. Well, there's two things. You have to migrate your thought process and change your vibration, which is hopefully happening through the migration of your thought process. But that migration is what they talk about is just have a better feeling thought. That's all. So you're pissed, you're angry, I'm raging, I'm crazy, I'm that fucker did the brand, it's a first. Can you find a better feeling thought than that? It doesn't have to be I'm joyful and fabulous. It can just simply be, okay, I realize I'm upset. I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to look at this a little differently. I'm going to take a different perspective. Now I'm getting a little more neutral. You know, you may not be able to get there in one step. You may have to go 10 steps to get to that point. But over time, as you get used to migrating, it does become easier to make a little bit bigger jumps or bigger steps,
right?
Because you're not stuck.
Yeah, we're leveling up.
Yeah. So the idea of maybe the idea, it's funny as I think about the term, and I don't mean this in any kind of judgment, when we say radical acceptance, to me is a very mental concept.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear it, when I feel it, it's a very, very mental concept. So somebody very brilliantly mentally figured out a way to coin allowing, which is a more, I don't know if it's necessary. Well, it is more emotionally based only because you're not fighting your feeling. You're not fighting your thought. You're allowing it all.
Right.
And so your emotions can then inform the experience as far as alignment is concerned, because now your emotions are about how aligned am I with what I think I'm aligned with?
Right.
So, and that's a different, you know, that's, but it still leads to the same place as this idea of, you know, whether you go through acceptance, radical acceptance, whatever it takes to migrate the thought process to get to the state of allowing so that you can encompass it all or embrace it all.
Right. The word acceptance is very close to the word acceptable. And I'm wondering if that's where the hang-up is when something happens in someone's life and they're instantly telling themselves, this is not acceptable. And so someone's telling me to accept something that I find unacceptable. Mm. And that's where you stay stuck. You'll just absolutely die right there on that mountaintop.
Yeah, well, and that whole, the whole, that whole push in the spiritual community for a long time is you would hear it all the time, is acceptance is not permission. You have to accept that it happened. It happened. It doesn't mean accepting it isn't giving permission for it to be there or for it to happen. It's creating the space of allowing it to be there. Again, the allowing word shows up, but that's a powerful thing.
Right. Without exaggeration, at least once a day in my office, sometimes more, when I'm teaching this concept. And the reason we teach it is so that people can be content, because people come in depressed or anxious primarily. Those are two energy states, or they're stuck in some way, if you want to throw some OCD in there. But I've asked thousands of people these three questions. You've heard me ask these questions before. Should cheaters cheat? Should spouses cheat on each other is the question. Should bank robbers rob banks? And should people kill each other? And without fail, everybody says no to all three of those questions. And they're playing what I call the should game, that those things should not happen. And then I said, well, how long ago did the first person kill somebody? It's like it showed up in the first family. If you read the Bible and you believe that that's the original story here, and it's happening right now somewhere on the planet, and it'll happen tomorrow. So if you got past, present, and future all covered with a behavior that we call murder, I kind of think it should happen. That's really the only acceptable way to be able to process that behavior. We want to, you know, have a fantasy that we don't live in that world. So we lie to ourselves and tell ourselves it's not acceptable, therefore it should not happen. And I'm going to say, no, murder should not be on the planet. Well, doggone it, it is. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about it religiously, morally, spiritually. We're just talking about it is. It does exist. And until it doesn't, what good does it do to not practice radical acceptance? It's not like somebody says, hey, I want to murder you. And we go, oh, okay, I'll allow it. That's not what we're talking about at all, right? Right? We're not talking about that. No.
But I do have to say, though, it is about allowing all possibilities. You may not like the possibility. You may not like that potential. You may not like that act. But the reality of our world is it's here. And it's been a part of the experience all along. And if you're judging that experience, then you're judging all experiences. Because as humans, you don't get the option to only judge a slice of the pie.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work that way. If you're judgmental, you're judgmental. It's how it works. So you may be able to say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, so therefore I don't believe in murder. Well, not believing in it doesn't make it so. That's another form of unacceptance. That's so if you say a behavior or whatever is unacceptable, you got to look, I think, at what generates the behavior, not the behavior. What may be unacceptable is the lack of acceptance.
Right.
You know, and again, this is not about giving green lights to, you know, mass murders and do whatever you want and all, but in the end, it kind of has to be. You kind of got to give people permission to do their thing. And the more you try to restrict it, that's where it gets into really dangerous territory, because like any energy, when you try to control or manage an energy artificially, it's going to find a way to come to create a new course of action, whatever right. that may be. Because it can't be stagnant and it can't be stopped. It can only be directed. So how do you redirect that thought? How do you redirect it? How do you focus acceptance in a way that allows for everything? And then you can make choices about what serves you or your experience.
Sure.
I don't have any plans on murdering anybody. It's not in my, not something that I've, you know, have I thought about it in my life? Of course I have. Who hasn't? I'd be surprised if there's a human who hasn't at one time or another thought what it would be like to do that to some person who just hurt me or harmed me or got in my way or did something.
Right. So I find it.
Not judging yourself, murderer in your head.
I find it really fascinating as I really carefully and try to methodically guide people through the process to get to a place where they can say, because it happens and will continue to happen, I can either accept it or not accept it, but by not accepting it isn't going to prevent it from happening. So I still stay stuck in this negative loop of believing that I'm living in a world different from the one that I actually live in. Mm. And so the radical part is I'm willing to live, back to willing and allowing. I think those words are pretty close together. I'm willing to allow myself to live and be a part of this real world. And when I walk people through the process of, should volcanoes erupt? Yes. Should earthquakes quake? Yes. Should we have lightning that strikes forests and it causes wildfires? And we walk people through all these natural disasters. Mm-hmm. And they say, yes, those things should happen. Should crocodiles eat baby zebras when they swim across rivers in Africa? Yes. Would you like to see it? No. But does it happen? Yes. And because you don't want to see it, does that stop it from happening? No. So we go carefully through all of these stages, and then I walk them right back to the, should bank robbers rob banks? And they go back to no again. And it's like, it's just so, and we're not talking about stupid people. I'm talking about educated, successful, functioning people. And then I'll say, should spouses cheat? No. Should people murder? No. And I'm like, we just spent 30 minutes carefully, systematically stepping through this. And we're still back to the belief that these things should not happen. It's just fascinating to me. They'll come in the next session. maybe three or four sessions will go by and they'll forget we played the should game, and I'll walk them back through it again. And they'll still say, no, those things should not be happening. And it's like, those are just three external examples that probably don't personally affect you. But what about all the things that we're telling ourselves every day should not be taking place that do, that we're trying to create a fantasy reality that we want to live in because we don't want to experience and deal with what is showing up in our life? Absolutely fascinating to me that all of us are doing that at some level.
Yep. And it's amazing that the old adage of what you resist persists is still the relative baseline for how energy works. All of those experiences are there and available to anyone who might need them in their evolution for whatever reason, whether as the murderer, as the murderee, as the witness to the murder, as the observer of the murders, or whatever. What you resist persists. So if you keep thinking that that's not an okay thing, then you keep creating circumstances in your vibration that say more. And people don't seem to grasp that's you're putting up blinking lights that say over here. I'm not saying that you're setting yourself up to be murdered. That's a silly thought process. And you could do that. But the point being that it's still all about energy. And to your point, you know, the fascination, I mean, I love watching those animal shows, and it's always fascinating to me when a predator goes for the prey and when they get it, you know, and I'm always kind of fascinated by that, because there's something about that dynamic that's really important. And I want to understand, I mean, obviously, when the tiger's jumping on the gazelle's back and trying to take the gazelle down, or the alligator is, you know, clamped onto the wildebeest. But there's something to the naturalness of that you just can't get away from. And if all of these processes, there's always been people who think that they don't have enough and they need to take things from other people. There's always, you know, so they steal things, you know, or they don't have enough, or whatever the reason is, whatever the justification is. It's the same with abuse. It's the same with bullying. It's the same with murder. It's the same with all of it. In a sense, is that it's all generated out of energy and consciousness. And when you don't have a good foundation of understanding what acceptance is about, or maybe for that person, acceptance is about allowing for the entertainment of the things that lead you to do that, you know, like a Jeffrey Dahmer, the way that he thought, the way that he connected things in the world, the way he understood the way the world worked, the way that he was satisfied in his experience was to do the things that he did. It doesn't make it a good thing. It just makes it what it is. And so then you got to deal with it in the context of, well, we don't want everybody doing that in that capacity. So, you know, then we come up with the criminal justice system, and these are right and these are wrong. And so all the judgment pieces come into it. But if you look at the arc of that individual's experience, there was a consistency of that, you know, with him particularly. It started when he was a kid with animals. You know, there was a fascination. There was a drive to explore that, whatever that was. I don't know if there was ever anyone who actually talked to him or that have words about what his experience was. I don't know if that exists, but, you know, we immediately want to say, well, he's insane. He's crazy. He's just operating at a different frequency. He's operating at a different, he's operating in a different reality. Because believe it or not, we all have our own experience and our own reality. And I'm operating in a different reality than you are operating in. And part of what we do when we come together is calibrate those realities. Where's yours compared to mine? Well, if we resonate closely and our realities resonate, then we probably have a pretty close relationship, and we have a kinship, or we have a personal relationship. If they don't, the likelihood is we probably will have not much to do with each other, because vibrationally we don't connect. Does that make sense?
Yep.
You know, so it's again, it's not about justifying. It's not about judging. It's allowing for all possibility. And then if your vibration and only your vibration, if you're dealing with the context of your vibration, you'll either create circumstances where that shows up, or you create circumstances where it doesn't show up, where it's more peripheral. You know, if I thought every time I saw that somebody died from a murder or something that happened that you see on the news or the television, if every time I saw that I had a negative response, that's my issue. I got to do some diving. I got to do some research on what's causing, why is that peripheral thing causing me to react in the way I'm reacting? Because that has nothing to do with me. I'm not there. I'm not in it. It's probably happening across the country somewhere. And while there is an impact, I think, from all of the emotional, religious, cultural, all of those layers at a certain experience level to that, when you break it down, as you were saying earlier, when you bring it back to the core reality, that's happening somewhere that has nothing to do with my world. Am I engaging that energy or am I not engaging that energy? Is an observation, and I say, oh wow, that's not very cool, or not even, maybe it doesn't even register that far. I'm curious, and I'm going to ask you that question. When you see that stuff, how do you respond to it?
I try to entertain this notion of non-permanence, that whatever has just happened has changed my perception of how I thought I was going to be living in this moment. I thought I was going down this path. This event happens. Now my path has shifted and these things are in front of me, but I'm no longer over there. That's where I was. And that's what was in some way constant or reliable or what I thought I could count on or depend on or knew. And all of a sudden there's this new thing in my life, a death of a family member, a job opportunity, you know, all these different, both what we would say positive and negative things.
Well, I'm sorry. I want to focus this specifically on the idea of, you see a news report that somebody got killed or a bunch of people got killed. There's a mass school shooting again.
Right. Yeah. So in that moment, there's this new information that's now my reality. And I'm wanting to still be back there in the old reality.
Oh.
I'm not willing to be in this reality. I don't accept it. And radical acceptance is being willing to show up and be a part of whatever is showing up right now that's right in front of your face. And just going, oh, I didn't think I'd be dealing with that today, but I can. How do I know I can? Because I am. I'm already dealing with it. Most people would say, I can't deal with this. I'm going to move to another country.
Yeah, or they personalize it.
Right?
I've got kids. My kids are in school. My kids are that age. Whatever, you know. A guy like that lived down the street from me, or a girl like that lives around the corner from me, or whatever. It's making all of these false connections. Seems to be happening a lot in our world lately.
Sure. Well, it's
false, the false attributions to if that happened over there, then it's going to happen over here, or has the potential to happen over here. And oh my God, what are we going to do about that?
Right.
And to your point, going back to the acceptance piece, it's taken as a broad stroke, that's unacceptable, which immediately creates resistance.
I don't accept what is showing up in my life right now.
Yes.
I want to live 5 seconds ago, 5 minutes ago, 5 days ago. That I can accept. Well, even what's funny to me about that philosophy is, even if you were able to turn the hands of time back 5 minutes and undo what just showed up in your life, how many times have you dealt with everything that's happened in your life? And we just do. We survive very well. We don't thrive so well, but we survive very, very well. But the notion of being able to practice non-permanence, everything is changing all the time. And when we can simply be the observer and go, oh, isn't that interesting that that person went and shot the school up and these people are dead? We have the idea there's some trigger of fear that's just gone off. And when we're afraid, we have three normal responses. And let's say it's a school shooting as an example.
Can you hold that thought one second?
Alrighty. So when an event takes place that we're not accepting, we've been triggered in some way that our autonomic nervous system is kicking off the fight, flight, or freeze response. And let's use a school shooting as an example. You're the parent of a kid. You're wondering if your kid's got shot. It's involving you in some way, or you have a kid that goes to school. And so, number one, can you fight that? Can you personally fight that? No. At the personal level, you just can't.
Right.
Can you run away from it? What would that be? Homeschooling? And would that really be an option? So generally, that one's not pursued. So can you freeze and hide and do nothing until the danger passes? That's generally the mode people pick by creating this false reality to then say it shouldn't happen. So we're going to create a false reality in our mind to give ourselves space to live, to be able to deal with it, because we aren't willing to just deal with it.
Well, and to create, and also that fosters the creation of blame. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to be responsible for this. And while there are peripheral, and this is where it gets really hairy, I think, and part of the acceptance issue in this whole deal as we look at this is you're not going to find solutions that address the problem if you're not an acceptance. More importantly, if you're not allowing for all possibilities to exist, if you haven't mentally gotten to that acceptance place, there's no solution available, because it's all, you know, okay, so it's the gun lobby, it's all their fault. Oh, it's the schools not monitoring. It's the parents not parenting. It's all of these things that may or may not have anything to do with the reason for what took place. It's that individual, an opportunity, and a progression of energy that took place over however much time it took place, that this individual created a reality in their own mind that enabled that to take place. If you're not an acceptance of that basic reality, you can't find resolution. It's not available.
Mm-hmm.
Fixing the guns is, while in and of itself may be a good thing in some form or another, I mean, not taking guns away, but maybe managing that process differently, maybe better. I don't see that it solves the problem. It addresses a tangential problem, but it doesn't solve for X, so to speak.
Yeah, so Johnny's still angry.
Yeah, or dead. But it has done nothing to solve what. And so, to your point, you know, fight, flight, freeze is, those are all stuck positions. Those are all resistant positions in some
form. Yes.
So what do you mean? I have to accept the fact that kids are dying? Well, yeah, because they are. That's what's happening. Like you said, that's the reality of it. So how is it something I can, and this is the question we all have to ask ourselves, is this something I can impact? Personally, can I truly have an impact on this? And do I have the energy, the focus, the desire to create the impact? If the answer is no, shut up. And I mean that with all my heart.
Yes.
Shut up. Because you're contributing nothing. You're adding to the confusion. You're adding to the resistance, but you're not adding to the solution.
Right. So one of the solutions, I love this topic, and I'm sure it's charged and heated and for all kinds of people on both sides of the issue. But one of the things that we could do is we could pray for peace. We could intend loving kindness to families who have absent fathers, who don't spend time with the boys, who somehow the families have a gun and the kid finds it and takes it to school and plays video game for real. Did that make any sense? Plays video game for real, because he's been on the video game shooting.
Oh, yeah. So he's translated from internal reality to external reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I could actually, by accepting that this is the society that we live in, and say, I want to do something about the society that we live in. So I'm going to have a voice and talk about the ridiculousness of these video games. I'm going to perhaps be involved in some way, even if it's just an awareness, just being willing to be aware that this is happening and this needs correction and change. Can I be a part of it by simply being awake and aware and conscious about it? And from time to time, giving it thought as I hear about it in the news to go, what would it be like to live on a planet where nobody wants to buy shoot 'em up first-person shooter video games? And to begin to create that level of awareness and consciousness so that moms and dads just won't buy them. Mm-hmm. Well, they could keep making them, but if we don't buy them, then they won't get produced. And what could we do consciousness-wise to increase the use of the Big Brother, Big Sister programs where kids have a mentor and someone that knows that loves and cares about them that they can cry on their shoulder and express their frustrations so they don't take them out in a violent way? Because really, until we address it at that level, if it's not guns, it's going to be something else. People will take a Molotov cocktail or they'll use a crossbow or they'll do something. They'll drive a car through the classroom window or something, or at the bus stop.
Well, and this takes us back to our podcast of a few weeks ago, which is the source, the basis, the foundation is connection.
Right.
The reality is there are millions upon millions upon millions of kids and adults playing those games. The reality is not all of them become murderers, not all of them go out and shoot people, and not all of them go out and harm people. But within the context of a family environment, within the context of parent and child relationships, if your child's connection is to the computer and not to you, that's a problem.
Absolutely.
If the child's connection is not anchored in the love that that child knows his parents have or she has for them, that's the problem. That's the source of the issue. That's where it happens. It doesn't happen. It's not a judgment about parenting. It's a judgment. It's not even a judgment. It's an assessment of they found a connection. In that connection, they found meaning. In that meaning, they found satisfaction. In that satisfaction, they found momentum. It's how creation works. It's no different from creating anything else. You could be the Dalai Lama who created a bunch of powerful, wonderful things, or you can be Manson who murdered lots of wonderful things.
Right.
Same creation process. It starts in connection, and where that connection either connects or faults, whether there's acceptance and allowing going on in that relationship, or if they're finding it with their friends who are killing people. It's whatever's normalized. And if it's normalized and is a way of connecting and is creating connection and satisfaction, it will be the route that's chosen. So if you choose to be a parent and you choose to have children, then you have to choose to figure out how to connect with them where they are. We started the conversation here before we got on about connecting with beings or connecting with loved ones who are past. You still got to connect with them where they are.
Right.
And bring them. Then you can hopefully, you know, but that's a big deal. That's a lot of work. And it's a tough nut to swallow when you have to stop and go, wow, they found their connection there. What do I have to notice here? Instead of throwing up the wringing of the hands and the emotional roller coaster, that's nothing more than stop and take responsibility. You know, again, and I apologize, I'll apologize only for the potential harshness of what I'm saying, but it's not meant to be harsh. It's meant to be illuminating. You know, from my perspective, it's meant to say, hey, there's other perspective here, and it's much greater than what you're giving it. You know, we've gotten so used to this news by the minute nonsense, you know, and this emotionally charged crap that gets thrown at us day after day, after hour, after hour, after hour, if you're indulging in it, if you're watching it, if you're paying attention to it. And none of that is reality in the sense that all you're seeing is all end result. All you're seeing is all the effect of what was not created to begin with, which is that connection and that acceptance and that allowing of an individual. That's my perspective of it. And you can modify it along the way, and you can help, like you were talking about, you know, how do you change the focus on the video games? Well, you stop buying them, you stop engaging in it. But if you don't choose to do that, then you got to take extra steps beyond anything you could have done before, because you've got to ameliorate the effect of that in their energy.
Right.
And that's huge. That's a big deal. And it's a lot of work trying to, you know, and again, that can, maybe that comes about through having them, you know, teaching them how to meditate or teaching them how to get quiet or whatever. But now you're just offsetting, you're not necessarily making progress. You're just, you know, it's like putting putting pimple remover on a pimple. The pimple's already there. You know, so putting the remover on it will take it away eventually, but it's not taking care of the problem that produced the pimple. It isn't resolving anything. And again, taking it back to acceptance. I love that everything that we've talked about, everything, every connection has a doorway to accept or not accept.
Mm-hmm.
Every step of the way, every step you take, you got to accept or not accept. You got to align, you got to, every single step of it. So that to me is just kind of fascinating that it's in every aspect of this, if that makes sense.
It does indeed. I like that. I guess it feels like we're doing a little bit of a summary right now. Unless you have some more new stuff to add in.
No, I wasn't aiming to summarize. I was just bringing up a new, another facet, as it were. But if we're looking to wrap, either way, it's okay.
I'm just sitting going, anything coming up for me that we haven't talked about or anecdotal? And I'm not feeling like there is, but I think we could do a nice little wrap or a summary.
Sure.
And the purpose of practicing radical acceptance or allowing is to really just be in flow, to flow with what is showing up in your life. The word acceptance, and we kind of split hairs with acceptable, it does not mean that you have to just lay down and take what's showing up in your life. You practicing the serenity prayer is a pretty cool mind program to run continuously. And sometimes when things show up in your life and you can do something about it, it being change it, fix it, repair it, that's fine. It doesn't mean that, gee, my door's broken, I just have to accept that it's broken and it will always be broken. No, that's not what we're talking about at all. But to say that it shouldn't
that's
be broken.
A huge leap, actually. From door broken to, I guess it'll be broken forever. You had to go a long way to get from here to there.
Right. But to be upset about it is really what we're talking about is, yeah. Hey, my door's broken. If I accept that it's broken and I know in some way I can live with the fact that it's broken, I don't have to get upset. How long it's broken is up to me as to how involved I want to be with its repair, whether I'm going to do it personally or I'm going to call somebody.
Well, I want to break that down, because actually it's a really good example of how, and why acceptance is so important and what causes us to not be in acceptance. So the door is broken. What do you think is typically the first thought about the door being broken?
How it's going to inconvenience me, or what I might lose, or some aspect of fear or danger.
Right. Biggest fear of every human being, pretty much. It's an instant reaction. Door broken, cost money, how much? Oh shit. Automatically. And no longer has anything to do with the door. The door has nothing to do with that equation now. It's about money. It's all about the fear of, I don't have enough. Will I have enough? Can I find enough? Can I get there from here? So suddenly it's gone from a door, which is a nothing event, to a huge emotional crisis, because you jump tracks. You went from, oh, the door's broken. Okay. Not sure how I'm going to deal with that right now. So I'm just going to hold that in my space. My door needs to be repaired. I need to work on that. I don't know how it's going to happen. And I'm going to research my options and see what's up. Because if you're not a carpenter and you're not a door maker you may not have any idea why the door is broken. So you got to find out the why.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's explore, because the immediate response of door broken costs lots of money, because I have no reality on what broken doors mean. I'm not any of those. I don't operate in those professions. So I have no history to understand what that means. So I immediately judge I'm not going to have enough. Unless, of course, you're wealthy and you know it doesn't matter. But then
even then, they don't want to deal with the inconvenience of it.
Convenience.
And they might go back to the, can I trust the person that's going to repair it? Will the guy make an extra key and come rob me when I'm, you know, away in Paris next week? I mean, who knows where that could go, right? So nobody's immune to the broken door.
No, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah, and I wasn't trying to go to the immune route, but I thank you for filling, because I wasn't immediately getting answers to those questions, and those are just as much. So the reason I wanted to dissect it is just to understand that if you accept door broken, that's all it is. There's no more to it. It's just door broken. Accept door broken. Okay. Now I've accepted door broken. What's next? What's next is I'm allowing for the possibilities of what's going to show up that I can fix this door. Oh, John downstairs. He does carpentry work on the side. Maybe I'll catch him and ask him to look at it for me so I can get some reality on what's happening with my door.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Could be I just need a screw, or it could be I need a door. Two very different things that I don't have experience with. So now you have one possible solution to taking you to the next place. Or I'm not sure what's up with the, you know, I mean, there are lots of possibilities. Oh, YouTube. Let me check YouTube, see if YouTube has any information about what happens. I can see that this took place. I'm going to type it in to see what it says. And so now you're looking for more information. But again, this is all flow, as we were talking about earlier. Oh, okay. I can find some information there. I can find some information there. And none of it requires fear. None of it requires reaction. None of it requires anything other than radical acceptance. Oh, door broken. What do we do about door broken? And so when it's not your enemy, you don't have to resist it. When you don't have to resist it, solutions are available. Solutions available mean you move the process forward.
Right.
But please carry on. For the listeners, I think it was important to recognize that in many cases, the thing that causes lack of acceptance is not the thing that's occurring.
Yeah, it would be a compilation of, like the domino effect of this goes, and then that triggers that, and that triggers that. And before you know it, we've got a catastrophe because of that effing door, you know, like the door's never supposed to break. Like there's some kind of reality we could live in where everything mechanical always works perfectly every time. Right.
I had that experience with my car when the air conditioning compressor went out, and it went out at like 125,000 miles. And I remember when it went, and the first thing in the mind went to was, oh my God. And the second thought I had was, dude, your car's at 125,000 miles. It's a likelihood that something might need to be replaced.
It's time.
Oh, yeah. And suddenly it is again, it's just a thing. So then it's about, okay, now let's work it out. I need to get this adjusted. Where's the money? Where's the this? Where's the that? And I'm not going to resist any of it. I'm ease and flow about it. So I'm going to make it happen, and it's going to happen as long as I'm not getting in the way of it happening.
One of the things I've noticed, Jim, about people that begin to practice acceptance and allowing and flow is the more you practice it, number one, you practice at the small things, you get good at the bigger things like death of a family member or the diagnosis of an illness or something major, that your house burns up or whatever, that by and large, you've probably met people, I know I have, and I work with them, it seems like some people, every time I see them, they have some new thing going on in their life that they're not accepting. Mm-hmm. And I look and I go, isn't that interesting? I wonder what their life would be like if they started practicing acceptance. I wonder if the lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson that they're not getting would slow up if they started getting. It's like, would the universe let up a little bit, mm-hmm. and they would live a less frustrating experience if they, my theory is as we shift into practicing the observer and living in flow, the universe doesn't need to teach us so much of that because we got it. It's like we're getting this. Therefore, the resistance stuff doesn't need to show up. Mm-hmm. The challenges don't need to show up as much because we got it. And it's like that can shift to somebody else that hasn't got it yet. And that, I just find that as an interesting observation.
Oh, I definitely agree. It's a whole different, at least in my experience, it's a whole different thing because there isn't really anything that causes, oh my God, you know, kind of what, every now and again, you get something like, what the hell? And then you stop and just be with it for a minute. And then you move on. It isn't a point of resistance, but that whole idea of, as you were talking, in my mind, I'm seeing that almost like an intense wind, you know, the resistance creates. It doesn't change necessarily the direction you're moving. It just makes it way harder to get there. Because you apparently still want to go in that direction. So if that's the direction you're going in, why not accept it so that you can get there easily and let that energy just move and let the obstacles fall away, because the obstacles are the result of the resistance, not of some angry God throwing shit at you, or, you know, not because the universe is conspiring against you. It's quite the opposite. The only one who conspires against you is you.
Yep.
Or the only one that conspires against me is me. And that level of acceptance and clarity, I think, is where it shifts. Like we were talking about from the beginning, you migrate, you know, in thought, you migrate to that place of acceptance.
And sure.
You're stable in that space of that mental space, in that aligned space of acceptance, it unfolds even more deeply. And that unfolding then becomes, wow, I don't need all this judgment. I don't need all this histrionic. I don't need all this negative emotion. I'm going to settle into this space of allowing and just let it all be what it is.
Right.
Be guided by it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they're not there anymore and you're not dealing with boulders. You're dealing with, you know, a rock you just need to set to the side. You're just, you know, you're dealing with, oh, I'm going to curve to the left a little and then back over to the right. And
right.
Not these huge mountains you got to climb over.
Sometimes I'll hear people, they'll just be getting out of a long-term relationship. And one of the things that everybody says is, I will never get married again. I'm not going to get, I mean, you're laughing because you've heard this or thought it or been through it yourself, right?
I lived it. Yeah.
So in another kind of similar thing, I hear very frequently people say, I could never do that again. I've been through this really hard thing. And if I had to do that again, it would kill me. And it's like at that moment, you're actually creating it to happen again, because there's some belief system inside of you that says you couldn't deal with it, that you really need to know that you could deal with it again and again and again if it happened. So instead of saying those things like, I would never do this again, or I could never do this again, or it would kill me, you actually do just the opposite and say, I can't wait for that to show up in my life again, because I'm going to go through it so much differently than I did this last time. Bring it. Let it happen. Come on. I've got this. It's a whole different way of going about it.
Yep.
That's practicing radical acceptance.
And what that obviously creates is a confidence in well-being, which that statement that you, the last statement that you made, was an absolute statement of well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it on. I've got this. I can walk this. I got, you know, there's no resistance there, but that confidence is that thing that it adds another level of stability to the acceptance, because you're now no longer insecure about your reality. You're secure in your reality, which makes it easier and easier to accept and allow.
Yeah.
As you go forward, because as you dispel the illusion, as you dispel the illusions of him, they, them, that it's all external, and you realize that it comes back to, it's all here. It's all right here, right now. You go, oh, okay. That's a big difference in perspective, and it's a big difference in how I'm going to move forward. But yeah, this is another humdinger of a topic, and I'll be very interested. I hope I didn't get too intense, and on the other side, if the shoe fits, there you go.
Well, yeah, one of the things what I love about your willingness is to be so real with it, you know, you don't shy away from issues, and our podcast doesn't take the easy road. So we're going places and talking and working in ways that I think is unique and has a value that is creating a listenership that people can appreciate.
Yeah, I agree. So thank you all. This great topic of acceptance leading to allowing, leading to ease and flow, creating a momentum in your life that is based on positive flow instead of negative flow. Remembering that if you're not in acceptance, you're in resistance. There's no middle ground. There's no in-between place. And if you're in resistance, you're creating what you're not accepting. So understand the levels of this. It's not, and again, it's not punishment. It's the laws of the universe. It's the nature of energy. It's how energy works. It's how energy interacts. Go to physics, read the books, you know, go talk to your physics professor or your quantum mechanics professors or whatever. They will tell you that energy works in a very specific pattern, and those energies all have value and they all have impact. And so the more that you can find that radical acceptance, the more you can migrate your thought process to those places and then begin to allow yourself to just be, to be with what you're experiencing in the world. The intensity begins to lessen. The need for fighting your way through evaporates, because the only thing you're fighting through is your own resistance ever. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You're fighting your own resistance to whatever it is you think is happening. So practicing that on a daily basis, on, you know, whenever you're able to. I know Jeff offered some great tools to use when you're, you know, as a way of helping to migrate your thoughts. You know, using the emotional tone scale to recognize where you are and then figure out how can I take a step in my thought process just to keep moving me up toward the positive end. You know, even if I get to neutral, neutral is way better than being immersed and entrenched in the negative resistance. At least at neutral, you're not putting out any energy that you don't want to have to deal with later.
Right.
So, anything you want to add before we go to come see us and websites and YouTube?
I think maybe just reinforcing one of those, the concept of, instead of saying, I could never do that, I would never do that again, it would kill me. In Byron Katie's book, Loving What Is, she talks about just simply stating, I would be willing to experience that again if it's something that I need to, so that I know that I can and that I've got it down and I don't have to live in fear. Fear goes away at that point. Somebody that knows that they can stand in the face of anything that shows up in front of them is a person that's full of love and competence and confidence. And that's a person that I want to be around, not somebody that would look at whatever's showing up for them and go, oh, I can't deal with that, and head off in the other direction, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we hope you've all enjoyed this this lively conversation, and we look forward to connecting with you all out there. You want to see us in action, you can check us out on our YouTube page at Adventures in Truth Podcast. You want to listen to us, got an amazing website, all of our episodes up in both places. We'd love to hear from you, love your comments. We're on all the major platforms, iTunes, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, all that good stuff, Apple, iTunes. Come visit us, our website, www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. And we're even on Twitter, so there. Tweet at us. So appreciate y'all being out there in the world and taking the time to dive with us. And we hope you get some value and it helps you to create your own best life.
Right on.
Thanks.
Blessings,
again.
Everybody.
Jeff, good to see you. Take care. Talk soon.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth podcast. If you would like to listen to more or to explore all our offerings, visit us on the web at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com. We also offer video versions of our podcast. Visit our page on YouTube at Adventures in Truth Podcast. We would love to hear from you. Like, connect, and follow with us on Facebook. Want to book us for your next podcast or to speak at your event? Head over to our webpage at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com at the bottom of the page and send us a note. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you again at Adventures in Truth Podcast.